In this episode of Nightmare Echoes, Elazar and Margot cover the 2017 Christopher Landon film Happy Death Day. This movie is really funny, and like most films we cover, it is better if you see it for yourself before you spoil the whole thing. And we do spoil the ending pretty much at the beginning of this episode. Also, I want to say that next week, Jesse is returning. We're going to speak about two classic 70s horrors, John Carpenter's Halloween and Dario Argento's Suspiria. We do release episodes every Monday, so if you don't want to miss one, please subscribe. We do have something special lined up for April 1st. I don't want to say any more here, but I hope you come back for that one because it should be a lot of fun. All right, enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Nightmare Echoes podcast. I'm your host, Elazar, and again, joined by co-host Margo. Margo, how's it going?
Good. Hello.
All right. Today, we're covering Happy Death Day 2017. It's starring Jessica Roth as Tree, Israel Broussard as Carter. The movie had a budget of only $4.8 million, but made $125.5 million in the box office. So it did pretty good for itself. If I was going to do a little spoiler-free review for people beforehand, if they haven't seen the movie, I would say that it is Groundhog Day as a slasher, and then I wouldn't want to say anything else so that you could go watch it, because if you haven't seen it, it's a really good movie. It's really hilarious. I showed my own father, and he thought it was funny, and he doesn't like horror movies very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it got Margo's chicken seal of approval. Margo's official chicken seal of approval.
Which, if you don't know what that means if you're a chicken, you can survive this movie.
Because I do not like scary movies.
Shocker, Margo. We're going to spoil the whole thing, so if you haven't seen it yet, pause, go watch it. I really recommend it. It's so good. The sequel is amazing as well. But here we go. We're going to spoil the whole thing. So the movie opens, and we got a Universal logo that comes across the Earth, and then time resets, and the Universal logo comes across the Earth, and then time resets. And the Universal logo comes across the Earth again.
Gives you a hint that this is a time.
Sure.
What is it? Groundhog Day. What do you call that? Time repeating movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Time loop.
Time loop movie.
It's a time loop movie.
Right. So there's a hint in here in the sound that is being made for the second film, and I will not ruin that for you.
Okay, all right, great.
But when it resets, there's a sound here, and the director put there on purpose because he knew the answer, and he was waiting for the sequel to do it.
Okay.
At the university, our main character's name is Tree. It's short for Teresa, for everybody out there that was given a hate on the internet. They're like, who would name their kid Tree? Short for Teresa. She's played by Jessica Roth. She wakes up with a bed she isn't familiar with, and she does not remember getting here. She spots a guy across the room on the other side. He's looking for something on the ground. He's on all fours. That's Carter, played by Israel Broussard, and he sees her. She's awake. He says he wasn't sure if she wanted to sleep in or not. Tree questions if this is a dorm room. Tree's phone rings with a song.
She says it like disdainfully, like, right. Ugh, am I waking up in a dorm room?
Sure, yeah. Her phone rings, and the song playing is, hey, it's my birthday, so why don't you pick up the phone?
I was going to say that she doesn't want people knowing it's her birthday, okay? So then why, you'll find out later, why does she have her ringtone play, it's your birthday, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's her roommate changed it, right?
No.
It wasn't her roommate changed it?
No.
I thought it said her roommate changed
she
it.
She did? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Did they?
Oh, I thought she said her roommate changed her ringtone for her.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. I completely missed that.
Okay, I don't know. What do you think it was?
I thought the whole movie that she just had her ringtone to be, it's my birthday, whatever the song is. So I was like, why are you announcing it if you don't want people knowing that it's your birthday?
I think her roommate did it to her as a break.
Oh, whoops. I missed
that. But we see on the screen that it's her father, or it might say dad, and she just rejects the phone call. She asks for where her clothes are. Carter says, I wasn't sure if you would remember me. Because you're pretty wasted last night. She just ignores him, asks for Tylenol. Carter starts to look for it. He gives her the bottle and he tells her name is Carter. She says not a word of this to anyone. Got it. Mm-hmm. Carter's roommate, Ryan, walks in, knocking, yelling, dude, did you hit that fine vagina or what? Mm-hmm. Which I think is weird that he left the A off. He says,
no, it's rhymes. Fine vagina.
Fine. Oh, thank you for explaining that. Man, okay. I've seen this a lot of times and that never clicked. That I get it now. Okay. Carter looks embarrassed and Tree is annoyed. Ryan seems to, you know he's an idiot for saying it. Mm-hmm. Carter says, nice one, dickhead. Mm-hmm. Outside the dorm room, we get a series of events that we're going to need to remember for the whole movie. Mm-hmm. She walks by these, I guess the movie even refers to it as her walk of shame, like the, mm-hmm. the commentary.
Yeah. I don't know why it would be a walk of shame. They're in a college.
Sure.
I don't think it's immediately obvious that she's having a walk of shame.
Well, I think she's still dressed in last night's clothes, like party clothes.
But how would people know? Oh, I guess.
That's the way it was described to me. In this walk of shame, she walks by a creepy guy wearing sunglasses who pulls them down to check her out. Mm-hmm. We see a student who has a petition to stop global warming. Mm-hmm. There's a couple kissing in the grass when the sprinklers come on. A red Jeep alarm sounds in the distance, and then six boys, maybe seven, are getting hazed. They apparently been standing there for 26 hours, and one of the boys falls over and passes out.
Mm-hmm. I think you're seeing 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, to give it flavor, that same flavor.
And then she runs into a guy named Tim who asks why she hasn't returned any recalls. She's like, yeah, I've been busy. Apparently, they only had one date. And the guy that plays Tim is Caleb Spilliards. He's normally a stuntman. He's been in Blue Beetle, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Spider-Man No Way Home, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
He's a big guy. Yeah,
that makes sense.
He's normally a stunt guy. And we find out that Tim took her to Subway. She's like, who takes their date to Subway? Mm-hmm. He's like, and it's not like he got a foot long. Mm-hmm. Which, according to the commentary, the director, Christopher Landon, says that was the actress that played Trees.
She ad-libbed it.
She ad-libbed the line, so he wanted to give her credit for it. And we get to her sorority house, which is Kappa Pi Lambda. The sorority sister, Emily, is outside waving all happily, and she just ignores her. Tree tries to sneak in, and then we meet Danielle. She calls her out like, you... I don't know.
I don't...
She calls her some insult.
I don't know, but basically she's saying, like, you dirty dog. You slept with somebody last night.
She's like, who are you with? And when she says nobody, she says, well, I hope nobody used a condom because somebody looks like a whore.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Tree's leaving, Danielle reminds Tree that they have a house meeting at lunch. In her room, we meet her roommate, Lori. Lori lets her know that she danced on a table, started two fights, vomited, and made out with Nick, who's Danielle's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, is it her boyfriend?
Oh, maybe
just,
not.
I think it's just somebody she likes.
Somebody she likes. My bad. Yeah. We see him in one scene.
Yeah.
As Tree's running late for class, she rushes to get dressed. Lori hands her a cupcake. She's like, do you really think you can keep a secret from me? Apparently, she was snooping around her stuff and saw her driver's license and figured out when Tree's birthday was. And this is where it says that she changed the ringer on her cell phone. Mm-hmm. Tree blows out the candle, saying that she wished for a new roommate, turns the cupcake upside down, and throws it in the trash. Right. Lori's upset because she made it from scratch, but Tree points out that it would be too many carbs.
Mm-hmm. In this scene, they do a close-up of her, like a pile of mail or something. Sure. And I remember thinking, that's weird that they're like making a close-up on this mail. And then promptly forgot about it completely until it becomes relevant later.
Sure. So she's late for class. The professor doesn't call her out, but he actually looks happy to see her. She also can't keep her eyes off him. He's the teacher, so maybe she's supposed to look at him. I don't know. But I guess we'll find out. We see a student working a booth selling the school merch, and this is where we find out that their school mascot is a baby face.
It's a dumb mascot.
I mean, you know, maybe you want to see a bunch of drunk babies walking around after late parties.
Do you remember what their school's name is?
No.
It's something with a B though. Blah, 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 babies, but I still think it's dumb.
Right. And then this is where we get to the lunch meeting for the Kappas, and it's led by Danielle. She's talking about the next fundraiser, and she states that the last one they did was for special needs, and it freaked the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't want to do that anymore. Just then, sorority sister Becky walks up with her lunch, a sandwich, a salad, peaches, and chocolate milk, to which Danielle asks Tree for help in calling out what's wrong with the meal. And apparently it's because she has the chocolate milk and they call it a cat lady buffet. As Becky gets up to run away, Carter approaches.
Well, she says she skipped breakfast. So that's why she's eating so much. And they're like, what's breakfast? In other words,
like,
you shouldn't eat breakfast.
We're all Kappas. We don't eat breakfast. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Basically.
Becky gets up to run away, upset. She runs into Carter. The chocolate milk spills all over Tree. And then he's there to give her a bracelet back, but she just seems annoyed. She doesn't even
He like hunted her down to give her bracelet back.
Super nice. And she's super annoyed.
Yeah.
She just gives him like a death stare. Like, why are you still talking to me? And then we see Tree walk into the hospital. She gets another call from her dad, which she does not take. When she's approaching the elevator, she sees Lori, who's in scrubs.
Her roommate, yeah.
Yeah, Tree thought Lori only worked nights, but she tells her she's working a double for Jin, who was out with the flu. Then Lori follows up with a snide. I guess I don't need to ask what you are doing here. Tree gets in the elevator, but she does tell Tree, I know it's none of my business, but I think something like this is bound to have some pretty serious consequences. Tree says, you're right. It's none of your business. Upstairs, we see she passed by a security officer post outside of a room, but the officer isn't there, I think. Or maybe he
is. No, he's sitting outside.
He's sitting in the chair. Yeah. Okay. But we focus on it long enough to know that this is going to be important later. Mm-hmm. Then Tree sneaks into the office of her professor, Gregory, who says he has way too much to do today. He's too busy to do this. She ignores him, grabs him, and starts kissing him right away. As they get into it, Tree kicks a chair perfectly under the door handle so that it's stuck and it won't open. Mm-hmm. And this is just in time for Gregory's wife to show up.
Yeah, so she's having an affair with her professor.
Exactly. Gregory introduces her to his wife as Teresa, his student, and the wife looks like she knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Or at least suspects.
At least suspects it. Tree, you know, gets out of there really quick. Mm-hmm. Later that night, Tree is painting her nails when Daniel comes in wearing Tree's top. But it looks good on me. Like, I'm wearing your top, but it looks good on me. And they talk about the party, and then the power goes out, which Danielle says is our tuition dollars at work. Mm-hmm. And then when the power comes back on, Daniel tells Tree not to be late or all the cute Sigma boys will be taken for the party.
Yeah.
On the way, Tree is walking to the party. She checks the voicemail from her father, who is complaining that he waited at the restaurant for over an hour. Tree passes some students sporting some school pride as they're all dressed in that baby face mask. One guy has the mask on top of his head. He's not actually wearing it. Then one student turns around and just stares at her as she walks down a set of stairs. But Tree doesn't notice. As Tree arrives, there's a badly lit tunnel with construction cones around it, and the center of the tunnel is a music box, and the music box is playing Happy Birthday to You. She bends down to see it, hears a twig snap, and she sees a baby-faced dressed student. Says, why don't you try this with the girls of Delta Gamma? They're into cosplay. Mm-hmm. She threatens to call the cops, and that scares him off. But then when she gets to the other side, he's on the other side waiting for her. Killer grabs her by the hair and stabs her on the top of the head. Although,
the other thing is the music box starts playing again. I'm like, I was just picturing that. She starts running. The killer runs back out, races over, winds up the music box again, and then runs back.
So she stabbed on top of the head. Yeah. We don't actually see any blood or anything because it's PG-13.
Yeah.
And then we start loop two.
This whole portion at the beginning until she gets killed is basically showing how horrible of a person Tree is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she's mean to Carter at the beginning. She's mean to all her sorority sisters. Her roommate nicely bakes her a cupcake and she just throws it in the trash. She's ignoring her dad. What else? Like, she brushes off everybody. She's, like, not nice.
She can't even share to wave. Like, Emily, who sits outside, sorority sister.
Yeah, she can't even wave to her.
She can't even wave. Like, what? How much energy does it take to wave?
Yeah, she's having an affair with her professor. Yeah, just not a good person. Not a good person at all.
So we get to loop two. Tree wakes up in Carter's room again. She's confused.
She doesn't seem as confused as I expected her to be.
Yeah.
I think it takes her a little bit to like kind of figure out what's going on.
Sure. She grabs her clothes. I already know where they are. And she remembers his name is Carter, which makes Carter happy. Yeah. I'm like, she remembers me. She asks for Tylenol again, but this time she tells him it's over there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and he goes and gets it.
Well, he says something like, I don't know, something to make it like something that she's like takes pause about, like, oh, you haven't been here before or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it is.
If it's not in this one, it's in the next loop. It might be.
I guess she thinks she just woke up in his room again at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, this is not completely established yet, but every time she gets killed, she kind of is injured a little bit at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I guess she got stabbed in the face. So
she's a little out of it.
I guess she might be out of it. Sure. Yeah. Who knows?
We zoom on a sticker in the dorm room that says, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And this is when the roommate busted again, saying the same line. Mm-hmm. She walks by all the same people. The guy with the shades is checking her out. The stop global warming girl. The couple with the sprinklers. The red Jeep alarm goes off. And the frat boy passes out.
Pretty much she's having the same interactions as before.
She's definitely confused. She runs into Tim, asks him what day it is. He says Monday the 18th. And she's like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. At the frat house, she still walks by Emily. She doesn't care. Inside, Daniel's saying the same stuff as before. And Tree tells her that she's having deja vu. And Daniel says, oh, I have it all the time. It's supposed to mean that someone's thinking about you while they're masturbating. I have it like 5 times a day. Like, oh my gosh. Daniel reminds her about the lunch meeting. And Tree seems really confused here because she knows she went to this lunch meeting already. Mm-hmm. But Daniel's like, it's been on the calendar for a month. Mm-hmm. Back at her dorm room, Lori, she looks annoyed as always. This time, Tree doesn't even blow out the candle of the cupcake. And then we cut right to the lunch meeting. We skip the class. She sees the baby face mask in the stand where they're selling them. Daniel asks Tree what's wrong. And she assumes that she cares about Tree in this moment. But she's like, no, what's wrong with Becky's lunch? Mm-hmm. Tree tries to warn Becky when she gets up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not in time. The chocolate milk still gets all over her. Carter walks away. Yeah, Carter
bumps into her. Whatever. Yeah.
Carter apologizes and then walks away. But yeah. Tree's like, hey,
give me my bracelet.
Yeah, right. So because he'd forgotten that's why he was there. But he doesn't even click to Carter that how would she know that that's why I came here. And then we cut to the professor's office again. She's trying to tell him that her day's repeating. He thinks she's fallen in love with him.
Now this time she's locked the door.
She locks the door.
Very impressed by kicking
the chair. He tells her, you can't fall in love with me. And she's like, I'm not in love with you. And that turns him on.
Yeah, that makes
him. He's like, oh, great. And he starts trying to make out with her. But she tries to warn him about his wife. And he's like, you know, that's kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah.
And that's where
his wife
knocks on the door. And he's like, oh, good thing you locked the door. And in the dorm room, we see Tree watching a video of a past birthday.
I think if you were cheating on your wife, you would be very...
locking the door?
Yeah, you would always lock the door.
Yeah, I would think so.
As soon as the woman who you're cheating with walks in, you think you'd lock the door.
Yeah, I mean, if anything else, even if he doesn't think his wife's going to be there.
You don't want someone else walking in.
You wouldn't want your coworkers walking in to find out. Yeah,
but I guess he didn't think anything was going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe think he's too powerful. I don't know. In her dorm room, Tree is watching a video of her and her mom at a past birthday. Then this time Daniel comes in and asks what time Tree's going to the party. Tree seems too distracted. So Danielle acts special. I don't want to use the R word. She's like, what time are you going to the
party? Oh, yeah. She's like making fun of it.
We're already establishing
that Danielle's a bad person.
Right. Exactly.
She's already made fun of special needs people or said they're creepy or something.
The director said it was his one joke that maybe went too far. But he really just wanted to establish that Danielle's a bad person and we're not supposed to like her.
Yeah.
Power outage goes on again and we get the same line. It's like our tuition dollars at work. On the way to the party, she thinks she sees the baby face killer. But it's just some guy named Mike wearing the same outfit.
Well, she makes it to the party this time.
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, wait. She's not at the party yet?
Let's see here. We hear the music box again.
Oh, okay.
And the music is super dramatic.
Oh, we haven't gotten to the
party. Tree decides not to go into the tunnel.
Right.
Which is a smart idea for the horror movie.
Yeah. So now she goes to the party.
Right.
That's great.
And at the Chi Sigma Kappa house, it's way too dark for a party to be going on.
What?
All the lights are off.
Oh, yeah.
There's no party in there. So she goes up to knock in anyway, which is, she just made a smart decision in a horror movie. Yes. Now she's knocking in a completely dark house.
Yeah.
That's a dumb decision in a horror movie. Mm-hmm. She gets the doors locked. She knocks.
Also, I was going to say that throughout this movie, she does a lot of stuff that you yell at people to do in horror movies.
Sure.
Like when she first gets attacked, she really fights off her attacker pretty well.
Yeah.
In this case, she's like, maybe not go down this dark tunnel.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So she turns around to check her surroundings. The door opens as a person wearing a baby face mask. So she quickly punches him in the face, causing him to hit the floor. And it's Nick. She knocks him down. Someone goes, surprise?
they're having a surprise party for her.
And then Daniel grabs Tree's hand and raises it in the air and says, don't mess with the Kappa bitch. She treats it as a victory. And then we get Daniel and Tree talking. Daniel says that Lori is banging some mystery guy and that she's going to be out of the house next year. Tree tells her that Lori is working a double at the hospital. And Daniel acts like that's not a good thing.
You know,
And then Tree notices Nick looking back and decides to follow him upstairs.
Yeah, he gives her like a flirty look.
Right, yeah. And behind Daniel's back.
Something about the punch that I don't remember exactly what he says. But something flirty about her punching him that it was fine. And
right. In Nick's room, there's a giant bong that's behind a big blow-up doll.
Yeah.
She starts using the mirror to make sure she looks good when the baby face is back, but it's just Nick pretending again. And then he tells her, welcome to the pleasure dome.
Yeah.
Music start playing. Party lights start going crazy.
Yeah, really loud, like electronic music.
Yeah. A disco ball is in the room. Nick's dancing like crazy. The music's too loud. Tree's text messaging Danielle and she's like, you're with him now, aren't you? And she's like, no, I would never do that to you.
Yeah.
And Daniel goes, don't you mean again? Don't forget freshman year, whore. And so the Tree puts, at least my nickname wasn't Blow. And then shows a picture of a fish, a blowfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, with music so loud, Nick is unable to hear when the baby fist killer does come in the room. Danielle typing on the text message, I hope you both die. Nick hits the floor. Tree turns around and only sees the killer, who she thinks is Nick again.
Mm-hmm.
Until she looks down and sees that Nick's on the floor and the baby face killer grabs out a knife. She's able to hit the baby face killer with a cricket mallet.
Mm-hmm.
Crocheterie board? That's what I wrote.
Crocheterie.
I can't say that word.
Charcuterie?
Charcuterie board?
Does it have meat on it?
I don't know. That's what I...
Sounds Some kind of bored.
The killer gets her on the bed. Another Sigma guy walks in and she's yelling for help. And he's like, woohoo, and closes the door.
Yeah.
I mean, she called for help. It looks like she's getting raped or attacked at least. And the guy's like, oh, let me leave them alone.
I don't know. Does it look like that? I don't know that it did.
Well, there's someone on top of her and she's yelling for help.
But it's so loud, he can't hear her.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Well, the actor who was the woohoo guy,
yeah,
his name is Justin, and he's Christopher Landon's, the director's nephew.
Oh, funny.
So he can let him play like a 5-second role,
yeah,
if that. And then the killer grabs the big giant bong, smashes it in half.
Dabs her.
And then we get to loop three. True wakes up screaming in Carter's room. He asks if she's okay. Her phone goes off. It's her dad again. She says, your name is Carter. And he was like, yeah. And we never met before. Not until last night. This is a nightmare. And Carter's like, it's not that bad. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. Went outside. She's going a little faster and the camera's getting a little shaky to show us that she's in a stress. Mm-hmm. She's definitely a little panicked and all the same things are happening. She shoves the global warming girl. And all the same events are happening. She bumps into Tim and screams.
Mm-hmm. He like came out of nowhere a little bit.
In her dorm room, Lori can tell that she's panicked. She tells Lori, I feel like I'm losing my mind. She tells her that she's repeating days. Lori is struggling to listen. Tree tells her that she knows about the cupcake and the surprise party. And Lori thinks that someone just spoiled it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tree tells her about the killer. And Lori thinks Tree is pranking her. She's like, who put you up to this? Lori knows this day is hard because of her mom and tells her just skip class and get some rest and everything will feel better. And we cut to Tree boarding up the windows of her dorm room, blocking the door. Just then, Daniel comes again to ask about what time she's going to the party, but she's stuck outside the door. The power goes out and Tree sits on the bed to peel the liner of the cupcake because she's actually going to eat it this time.
Mm-hmm.
But just then notices the TV is showing a happy family and there's someone named Jace and she doesn't want to watch that. So she looks for the remote and she can't find it. And this is where she finds the black envelope sealing it with a sticker that says it's your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the card, it says, happy birthday, another year older, and you're still got game. Inside,
yeah, it's like a baby mascot branded card.
Right, yeah. Inside, it says, unfortunately, that game is bingo.
So, yeah.
Just little bingo balls around it. And it says, have a lucky day. And then under it in handwriting, it says, enjoy today because there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That was Christopher Landon's handwriting. He's like, I have horrible handwriting. We turn around, the TV is off. Tree turns it back on and it shows a news report about people being shot dead and cuts to the face of a suspect. But then the TV turns off before we can get a good look at the suspect.
Well, I just want to back up to say that this is the point of the card that you think, okay, somebody is actively targeting her, right? Whereas before it could just be somebody killing people. And it kind of seems like that in the second run through because he kills, or she, I guess he or she, kills the
killer.
The right. killer kills the guy too. Whatever his name is, Nick or whatever. Nick and Tree.
Yeah.
So anyway, but if from the card, it seems like somebody's targeting her.
Yeah. And then so she starts looking around the room because, you know, someone turned off the TV. Mm-hmm. From within the room, she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the slightly open closet, but when she opens it, there's no one in there.
Okay, so this made me laugh because don't you think before you barricaded the room closed, you would be checking all this out? Now she's like, oh shit, better check all the closets and whatnot.
That's funny. Yeah, she screws herself over here. She turns to the bathroom. Someone could be behind the curtain. She goes up to it as she slowly approaches it and she reaches for the curtain. The TV turns back on. So instead of pulling the curtain, she turns around to look at it. She walks out of the bathroom and a second later the killer's behind her because the killer was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Should we say right now who the killer is?
I mean,
I want to talk about these kills.
Sure. Go ahead. Okay, fine.
What were you going to say?
No, you're good. We can do that.
Spoilers, right?
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, you don't want to know who the killer is.
Okay, so
go watch it now.
At the end, we found out that it's her roommate who's trying to kill her.
Yeah,
it's her roommate. For a lot of the kills, she sicks the serial killer on her. Or does she just blame him? That was unclear to me.
Oh, later with Toombs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, she wants to blame him.
Did Toombs ever kill anybody?
No, not until she goes to the hospital.
Okay, because the first kill, I thought the first and second kill was him. Because the roommate, I don't know. I guess the first one could have been her. But the second one, I'm like, what? She's now killing another guy too? You'd think she would wait till her roommate is alone, especially since they live together.
Sure. I think she didn't free him until she couldn't kill her on the way to the party. and at the party.
Oh, I see. I thought she did it right off the... I thought she did it when the cupcake failed. She wouldn't eat the cupcake.
Oh, maybe. She does talk about it that way. But I don't think so. I think it was Lori killing her most of the time.
Because why is she killing the guy?
I mean, I guess like she doesn't care who she kills
know.
On the way to
maybe,
kill her because she's
going
to blame it on somebody else anyway.
I don't know. I find it unlike, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, this one does make sense, obviously, because she was just staying
in the room
while
the whole time.
She barricaded
She's like,
it.
I'm going to leave. And when Lori wasn't looking, she hid in the bathtub. And man, yeah. I would get, maybe she sat down because I would get tired of standing up for hours.
You could just sit in the bathtub, yeah.
Yeah, you could just sit in the
I
bathtub.
I guess she could just sit in the closet. She wasn't checking around.
Sure.
Maybe she could have sat on the chair. Who knows?
So okay, then the killer, okay, so Lori attacks, yeah. Or Tombs.
We can just keep saying the killer,
yeah, the killer attacks.
The baby face killer.
The baby tree is able to hit the killer over the head with a hammer, and
yeah,
but she's stuck in the room.
When I originally watched it, I wrote, where'd this baby come from?
We get like Michael Myers type sit up here, mm-hmm. Like this only ab sit up the killers always do in these movies. She's trying to run outside, but she's blocked in. We see the knife. We see, this is the only time we see blood. Mm-hmm. The knife, we see the knife going through the other side of the door with blood on it.
Yeah.
But that knife had to be massive for it to go through her head.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of force.
All the way through. Yeah.
I guess, what's her main thing? Lori?
Lori.
I guess she's doing like arm workouts every single
all
day.
All the time. Well, she's lifting patients probably.
Okay, you know? Yeah, sure. She's not doing a team lift.
Yeah. They have machines to help her, yeah. All right, loop four.
We have to do a whole CE about not doing that. I'm just saying, you're not supposed to just lift people.
All right, we made it to loop four. Tree wakes up screaming back in Carter's room. Her.
Oh, what do you think the roommate does at the hospital? She's got to be like a patient care tech, right?
Maybe, because unless she's.
Or like a phlebotomist.
She's not old enough to already
be
a nurse.
She doesn't have a degree yet. Yeah.
Well, she could be getting a degree in something else.
She'd be an LPN.
Yeah.
You think a registered nurse would be living in a...
Oh, you're right.
Living with like young college kids?
Probably not. I don't know.
A sorority house?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought about it.
That's interesting. And okay.
So she screams really loud. This causes Carter to like, who's on all fours looking for something, to hit his head. Her phone rings like always. Carter asks if she's sick because she's still screaming. She grabs the phone screaming at it and throws it across the room. She's yelling to make it stop. Carter asks if she's okay and she screams, get away from me. After putting her pants on, she runs out of the room. And we see Ryan hiding around the corner looking like, what the heck just happened in here? This is the first time I noticed that on the other side of the door, there's the word occupied in all caps is on this little whiteboard. So, you know, that's how Ryan knew not to come in last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside the same events,
oh,
but
so smart.
She's more panicked. Instead of the camera being shaky, it's blurry this time.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like her freaking out. She starts spinning around in circles in a panic and people are starting to stare at her. Just then Carter stops. He's like, I'm sorry, you just forgot your stuff. And then she grabs him and hugs him.
Yeah.
And then they're in the cafeteria. She's slurping a drink. Can you stop staring at me and looking like I took a dump on your mom's head?
It's a weird line.
Right. Carter's trying to figure out if he even believes all these events.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess she's told him the loop story.
He asks what would make this day special. She can't think of anything. And then the phone rings and Carter goes, oh my gosh, it's your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's special. And she's like, birthdays are just excuses to eat cake and open presents and shit. There's no real meaning behind birthdays. And Carter says that birthdays are symbolic and the killer knows it's her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the killer's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He asked her to make a list of names of people that might want to kill her. And this is hilarious. This is like, we're getting some insight into her. She says, but because of the surprise party the sisters threw, the whole school knows it's her birthday. But maybe Danielle, because she made out with that guy last night, right in front of her. She makes a comment that it was probably before him. And he makes like a judgment. And she goes, oh yeah. And she makes a comment like, well, you slept with a girl that was all messed up, you know, all drunk. And he goes, hey, for your information, I slept on Ryan's bed.
Yeah.
I brought you to the dorm room because I was afraid you were gonna like trip and fall and choke on your own vomit.
Yeah, so she learns that he's like a nice guy.
yeah, right. But he says like Janis Joplin did. But I did some research into this and like there's books published and stuff. And it apparently Janis Joplin overdosed on heroin.
Okay, well.
But not choked. But there's no information that says she choked her own vomit.
Is that like an urban legend?
Maybe it is. But apparently like there's all this information that there's a certain friend that snuck into the hotel room after she died and stole, like took all the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it would look like she didn't die that way. And then the coroner said that she brought it it back when she realized that would hurt, finding out how she really died. And mm-hmm. she was just trying to react as a friend.
Oh, she didn't want people to know that's how she had died.
Right. But apparently, according to this coroner in this book, he was the Los Angeles County coroner, Thomas Noguchi. He said that that was a very common thing for friends and family to steal the evidence mm-hmm. of overdosing. Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, but we learned that he's actually a nice guy, that he didn't do it. And so she names other suspects, that maybe Gregory, the professor, or his wife, because she's sleeping with her professor. Yeah. She says maybe creepy Tim. Oh, the tiny girl at TJ Maxx because she got her fired. The Uber driver that she spit on last week.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is a long list. And so he's getting discouraged because she's not a nice person. And then he tells her it's kind of an opportunity because you can investigate who's trying to kill you.
Yeah, because you keep repeating the day.
No one else gets these opportunities.
Yeah.
Like, you're not only, yeah, I mean, normally people just die, they die.
Yeah.
But you get to start over and try to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, so I just got to keep dying until I find out who the killer is. That's your genius plan. And he goes, do you have a better idea?
Yeah.
And then we get a great scene, this montage scene. I love these montage scenes. To yeah, Emily
investigating.
Right. Emily's outside, sitting outside the sorority room, and stuff starts falling from Tree's room because she's clearing room on her desk.
Yeah.
To start making a list. Number one on the list is Nick, but it's crossed out. I think the movie doesn't show us a loop.
Yeah,
right.
This is funny. I laughed at the idea of making a handwritten list in which you cross out the names every day because the list doesn't stay. So yes. That means every day she wrote the same names and she crossed out instead of just writing the ones that are still there. She wanted the satisfaction of crossing them out. But it was good visual for
it
us.
Was
so
a good
we don't
visual
have to
us.
See the day repeating over and over and over again.
I will admit that she might have crossed out Nick because he was killed by the killer. Why should she have written it on the list to begin with? That's why I think we missed a loop. Also, there's evidence later when we're on loop 10 mm-hmm. that she says she's died 16 times, but I've double counted and there were only 10 loops.
Okay, so yeah, we're not watching
or
every single
at that
day.
Time, right? Yeah. So number two is Tim. We cut to a shot of Tree sneaking outside of Tim's room where she's finding that he's watching a man on man.
Yeah, he's watching gay porn. So
gay porn.
She's like, oh, he's not really interested.
She's like,
in me.
Oh, but her face expression of the, oh, that makes sense is hilarious when she does that. And she's turns around and she's stabbed by the killer.
Yeah.
And she's like just in shock. But she could have grabbed the mask because,
yeah,
yes, she's going to die.
She wasn't thinking straight. She
wasn't thinking
straight.
But she could have grabbed the mask off and it would have solved all her problems. So she wakes up now when she's in loop five. In loop five, she wakes up. She throws her phone in a trash can. We cut to her hair pink and she's cutting it shorter. Number three on the list is Stephanie, who's Gregory's wife. Tree is dressed all in camouflage.
Yeah,
she's
I guess
got
the pink
night-
is for camouflaging. I don't know. Or you think she just did it for fun? Or
maybe because it doesn't
camouflage.
Matter.
I don't know. Yeah.
Tree's dressed all in camo. She's got night vision goggles. She's stationed by a fountain. Where did she get all this equipment? Like, all of a sudden,
who knows?
Right. She's stalking Stephanie and she's like dressed really nice. It looks like she's outside of their house and man, they have a nice house.
Mm-hmm. He's a doctor.
What's that?
I said he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
And who knows what she does? I mean, she's a doctor too.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's my dream.
Oh, I think we find out in the sequel what she is,
well,
but I remember.
Well,
yeah.
I double income, no kids, stinks. I don't know. I guess I don't know that they don't have any kids.
Yeah, they never established that they
okay.
do.
Yeah.
So then a tree turns around, the baby face killer runs up, shoves her into the water, and she's drowned, and she wakes up in loop six, barfing tons of water into Carter's room.
Mm-hmm.
Like water carried over mm-hmm. into the loop. In this loop, Tree is walking with Danielle when this guy bumps into her, and a black letter that says happy birthday on it that Danielle is carrying falls to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks at her. She instantly thinks Danielle's the killer. They start fighting. They roll around. They are in the street and a bus hits them,
mm-hmm.
which sends her into loop seven.
Mm-hmm.
And she crosses Danielle off the list.
I don't know why she immediately decided it wasn't Danielle at that point.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
You just.
I mean, it's not. She's
it's
right.
It's not.
But.
So
like,
I think we missed another loop.
Or does she think that if she had killed them, they wouldn't loop again?
Well, that would be dumb because then she would die too.
Well, she didn't mean to though.
Yeah.
So maybe she's like, oh, well, if I kill the killer, then we won't loop. And since we looped again, that means it
maybe.
Wasn't Danielle. I don't know.
Either that or we missed more loops. There's no extra loops in the deleted scenes. They're all just extended scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We get a scene here where Tree is walking naked during
yeah.
her everyday morning walk, her walk of shame, past the guy.
Yeah, but having no shame about it.
Right. Yeah, passing the guy that was always checking her out, past the girl that's trying to get her to sign the sheet.
I guess at this point she's pretty confident she's not going to live through the day.
Yeah, yeah. in the commentary, they talk about it. They had to clear the area and they had to do it in like two or three takes. And they had people watching all the dorm room windows to make sure people weren't recording. And they caught a guy that was trying to record the scene. But between takes, all the women in the crew would surround her and give her compliments of how brave and she was and what a great, strong woman she is. They gave her that confidence to in the next shot to do it, which I think is hilarious. You know, she said it was very liberating, the actress. Then we see Tree with a baseball bat. She jumps out, swings, and she kills Becky. and she's like, oh no, that's not who she meant. And then as she's trying to like make sure, you know, see if maybe she's not dead, the killer grabs the bat. She turns around, realizes it's too late. She's hit by the head, and there's this great dissolve as she falls and lands on the bed. It's like a really cool shot. So we're at loop 8. She tells Carter that his plan totally sucks. And he doesn't understand. She's a lot of pain. She continues to walk out the door. We hear the, dude, did you hit that fine vagina or what? She walks and passes right into his arms. She wakes up in the hospital and she thinks the killer's entering the room. She's imagining it, but it's just Carter standing there. And the power goes out and then Gregory creepily is there when the power comes back on.
Yeah.
He tells Carter that visiting hour's over. And Tree thanks him and he leaves. Gregory points out that her scans don't make any sense and there are major trauma that it might sound crazy, but he thinks based on these scans, she should be dead.
Yeah. So this was a smart thing in the movie to do, which they give her like stakes. Because like when you, the thing about time loop movies is you have no stakes, right?
You could do it as long as you want.
Yeah, like I was already thinking, why doesn't she just spend her time learning how to fight or something? Or like,
sure.
But now she doesn't have like unlimited time because every time she gets killed, she like actually gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah. So that was smart because, I mean, or just be like, oh, I'm going to learn piano, whatever. I'll just get killed every single day, whatever.
Yeah. Like in Groundhog Day, we might see 50 loops.
Yeah.
But according to the author or the director, they think he was stuck in there. Also, the author says he was stuck in there for 40 years, which they did a study on how long it would take to learn all these skills if you were focusing on one skill at a time. Mm-hmm. The author of the book says it was something more like 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. That he was stuck in this loop, which is insane. Yeah.
I think, did you ever see that movie, Palm Springs?
Yes, I love that one.
Yeah. I think, too, they were in, well, at least, what's his name, was in it for like years? a long time.
Yeah, right.
Although he didn't pick up any skills. I guess
he was just being lazy all the time. Yeah, that's true. Lazy living it. Yeah, that's funny.
I can't remember her name either, but the actress, she got basically a physics degree. So in her time loops.
Jessica Roth?
Was it Jessica? What?
No, which?
In Palm Springs.
Oh, in Palm Springs. Oh, yes. I didn't look that one up.
But sorry. Andy Samberg did it. But yeah, anyway, whatever. This movie is setting the stakes that she can't just keep repeating the day over and over again.
It's the smartest thing the script did to differentiate, to
because
make it.
Because now she has like motive to like really figure it out.
She tries to leave MIA, but Gregory assures her that it's safe. Wait, I wrote that wrong. Against medical advice. AMA.
Yeah.
I said MIA.
You're MIA. AMA. Right. MIA.
She tries to leave MIA. Nope. She tries to leave AMA. Oh my gosh. She tells Gregory to get her a soda. And during that time, she leaves. She sneaks past the nurse's station. And we see the security guard's chair that should have a guard in it. And this is where it's empty.
Oh, this time it's okay. Empty. So I just want to point out that it's never pitch dark in a hospital, okay?
What?
The rooms are the lights are off, but the hallways, the lights are not off.
I'm seeing like it all
dim.
The time.
They're dim, but they're not off like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Even if we tried to turn the lights off, they're not all off.
Yeah.
So, no, you can't do
there's
that.
There's some areas
it's like a safety dark issue.
Yeah.
You can't do that. What all if right there's a code? Are you going to be running through a dark hospital? No.
All right. So Tree.
And also, there's like a marble wall. Did you catch that?
No, I
like,
missed
what
it.
What hospital is this? Well, like a marble wall?
It was an abandoned hospital.
Uh huh.
And they, director and all the crew, swear it was cursed. a lot of bad things happened there.
That's funny.
And it was interesting. Yeah. But it's funny that they thought it was haunted. but between this movie and the next one, they had destroyed the hospital, and so they had to recreate it on stage to like reenact some of the stuff.
The same hospital.
Yeah. So Tree makes it to Gregory's office, and she's verbally saying keys, 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 because they got some feedback that people were confused what she was looking for. So they like made her say it out loud.
I didn't know what she was looking for. Yeah, it's like, why is she in there?
Right. She sees a baby mask. We're supposed to think that means he's the killer, but everybody who's half campus pride has a baby mask.
Yeah, it is weird that I don't know that.
Why he would teaches he? On campus.
I guess it's kind of weird, but
yeah. And in the hallway, Gregory finds her, tries to calm her down, then the killer shows up behind him and kills him.
So this is 100% the serial killer guy, right? Or no?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
I think any kills in the hospital were the serial killer guy. Okay. I think Lori was trying to kill her on the way to the party,
yeah.
At the party, and in her own room.
Okay.
Any kills at the hospital,
I think,
is when...
Well, I mean, there's parts where he's unmasked and trying to kill her, so that's obviously him in the right. hospital.
But I think when she's made it this late at night,
yeah,
that's this him. Is when Lori's like, all right, I'm going to need the killer to go kill her.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. So Tree runs to the parking garage, which is like, you know, your classic serial killer mm-hmm. parking garage mm-hmm. thing. This part of the movie reminded me of a movie called P2. Have I told you about it? Mm-mm. It's like all in a parking garage. It's mm-hmm. Christmas Eve. Rachel Nichols is playing a office worker who's just trying to get home to her family. Mm-hmm. And
just kidding.
And Wes Bentley is a security guard that's uh-huh. obsessed with her and okay. locks her in
oh, okay.
and is trying to force her to have Christmas dinner with him.
Oh, okay.
It's creepy. The whole movie's in the parking garage.
You have told me this.
Okay. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Back to the movie. Tree is hiding behind some cars, trying to find Gregory's cars, but when she has to beep it, she mm-hmm. knows the killer's going to hear it too, mm-hmm. but she takes that risk. She gets to the car.
I think she had beeped it when she first got in, so she kind of knew where it was, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, because she was like getting close to it, but she didn't know exactly which car it was.
Yeah. She gets in, but the killer breaks the glass, but she's able to drive away.
Okay. Oh, this is definitely the serial killer guy, right?
Yes.
Because I'm like, there's no effing way that little what's her name could punch
sure.
through a car.
But
I know if you hold the key in a specific spot, you could like break the integrity of the glass or whatever. But yeah. no way.
Sure. Or maybe if you had like a running head start.
I mean, they make those like those devices.
They make devices that do that. Sure.
So
I think as they're leaving, like as she drives away, she hits a car right away, which is funny because in the commentary, they say that they were supposed to be really careful with that car because it was lent to them.
Oh, no.
And he had the guy that was watching over it actually run an errand for him. So they crash it.
Oh, no. As soon as that happened.
He's like, and then we had to pay for the fine later.
Oh, no.
Or we had to pay to have it repaired. But he knew he would be able to pay for it to be repaired, but he needed it to happen. And the guy wouldn't let him. So it was like
he did it on purpose,
like an ask forgiveness later kind of thing.
Oh, funny.
All right. So then she drives away quickly and she's celebrating in the car, but then she's getting pulled over for speeding. He asks for ID, but she has a hospital gown.
Yeah.
She starts to say like, he's trying to kill me again. And he's like, again, which makes it sound weird. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, he was trying to kill me before, but now he's trying to kill me again. And she doesn't believe her story. He asks
if I don't know. I feel like you would think it was a domestic violence issue.
Right? I think so too.
Like immediately.
I wouldn't instantly think that she's lying.
Whatever. Like he thinks that she's drunk or whatever.
Right. And she admits, she says, yeah, I'm drinking. Oh, she's and I'm like, high
oh,
too.
Oh, wait. All am I about to drugs. Go to jail?
Oh, that's right.
Be she safe. Goes,
if I was, would you
arrest
me? He goes, that's generally how this works.
Yeah.
She's yep, like, I'm
oh,
drunk.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely drunk.
I'm high too. Drugs, you name it. I'm on it. So like he puts her in the back of the car. And she's so excited that she's about to get arrested. That's where another car comes really close, swipes the car, kills the officer,
mm-hmm.
drives a little bit further and skids around. And then we see the babyface killer get out of the car, walk towards her. She's yelling, what do you want? Why are you doing this? Show me your face, you pussy. The killer walks back to the car, gets in it, rolls down the window, and sticks out their hand. It's holding a sweet birthday candle. It's the same candle that Lori used on the cupcake.
Yeah. I mean, those are pretty generic candles. But okay. Should we have known by now? Wait, is this Lori?
I don't know. But I just thought that was a little sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
a little candle. She lights it, and that's where...
Here, another hint to Tree that this person knows it's their birthday and is coming to kill them intentionally.
Which Carter pointed out.
Yeah, but she kind of forgets it.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, go
no,
ahead.
You're good.
So she drops the candle and there's like a line of gasoline.
Right, and that's where, and she's like, car. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then the car blows up. We get a cool dissolve of the explosion and we see it in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They really blew up a cop car.
Okay.
But they digitally added more flames than there were. Mm-hmm. Well, the actress during the commentary goes, no, the flames in my eye were real though. Like, yeah, we set your eyes on fire. That's funny. So we get into loop 9. She gets up as Carter starts to speak. She goes, silence! And goes straight for the pain meds. She pours them out and Carter Carter warns her that too many could kill you. And she's like, if only were that easy. But I do want to mention, if listeners, if you take too much Tylenol, it can kill you.
And it's not a good death. And also, if you're drinking and you take Tylenol, a lot of Tylenol, that's not good. Don't do that. Say no.
Yeah, movies always show people overtaking Tylenol.
Don't take more than 2 Tylenol, please.
And no more than 4 grams a day, please. All right, thank you. Back to the movie. So then Ryan walks in. She refers to herself as Fine Vagine and says, if that's how you refer to girls, you and your hand are going to have a long relationship. And then she says, have a nice day. She closes the door on Ryan. He's outside. She stays in the room this time. And he asks if she's always this charming in the morning. And she says, just this morning. Says that she was dying again. And she tells him it's a long story. He says he isn't doing anything today. And she tells him that she hates the sticker on his door. That's the sticker that says, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Because it's the only day in her life.
Yeah.
He follows her. He thinks he can help because he thinks she's having bad dreams. She asks if he could only stop living the same day over and over, being killed by somebody. So what we get here is this amazing scene where she shows him everything that's going on. And it's just like the scene in Groundhog Day where they're in the restaurant and she's telling him, like, this is going to crash.
Yeah.
And this is going to happen. That's pretty cool. So she does that. Sprinklers, car alarm. See that pledge over there? And he falls over. And then they're at a burger place and she's eating a burger like there's no problem. She's burping in front of him, farting in front of him because he won't remember any of it anyway. The phone rings again. She doesn't want to pick it up. She explained that her mom died 3 years ago and that they share the same birthday. He thinks that's crazy. Like, what a coincidence. That's why she doesn't like her birthday, because it just reminds her of her mom. Tree says that her mom would be not proud of her, the person that she turned into. And Tree knows that she's not a good person. She explains to Carter that she doesn't have many chances left because she's getting weaker each loop. She mentions that her 9 lives are up and we are on the 9th loop. This is where she notices the news of the serial killer of John Toombs is at the hospital. And the 6 previous victims all look like her. They're all blondes. One of them is the director's sister.
Oh, funny.
Which I think is kind of cool. So she runs to the hospital, tell him that Toombs is going to escape. Tree breaks some glass.
Yeah, so okay. So she thinks, oh, it's definitely him.
Yes.
But she completely forgot that they know it's your birthday and they send you like that threatening letter. So it's not him, but that's okay.
I mean, he wouldn't have been able to get into her room earlier to do it anyway.
I know, but whatever. I mean, it does make sense, sort of, like...
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So she tells them at the hospital, the nurse at the hospital, that Toombs is going to escape. Tree breaks some glass to get to an axe. And we see that the room, there's already blood on the door. She sneaks in. The security guard is lying on the other side of the bed, dead. And the babyface killer is behind her. And he's got the gun. She runs out of there. And the nurse is shot. And the killer takes off the mask and reveals that it is Toombs. Just as he's going to fire, Carter jumps and tackles Toombs. And they struggle. And Toombs grabs Carter by the neck and breaks his neck.
The way he breaks his neck, I'm like, there's no way he could have actually broke his neck that way. I feel like he just takes one hand and is like, yoink. I'm like, no.
Yeah, okay.
He does not give enough force. But I just like it really, I really noticed it. I'm like, it's like, what? I'm very easy. I'm like, okay, I know.
Oh, man. So she gets into the stairwell. Tree's able to actually best him. She's about to kill him when she remembers that if she survives the night, then Carter's dead forever. So she climbs up to the top floor, puts a noose around her neck, and says, see you soon, asshole, and hangs herself.
Yeah. I'm like, yikes, what a way to kill yourself.
Oh, that's insane. It's the most graphic of them because you've seen it happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And wake up in loop 10. She cracks her neck when she's getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. She runs to hug Carter, saying she can't believe he tried to save her life. He thinks it's just because, you know,
he
last night.
Yeah.
She's happy to report that she knows his name is Carter. She's smiling a lot. And this is giving Carter the warm fuzzies. Mm-hmm. Before leaving, she asks if she can borrow his pillow. And she says, I'll see you at lunch, which confuses him because they didn't make lunch plans. As Ryan walks past with the normal complimentary line, she turns in, pins him against the door, and proceeds to spank him, say, naughty, naughty boy. And then leaves out lines saying, fine vagina out. And then Ryan is so confused that Carter is just laughing. Outside, like normal, she takes goth onlooker guy's sunglasses from him. She happily signs a petition to stop global warming. And that encourages that girl. She's so happy. She warns the couple about the sprinklers about to go off. So they're able to get out of the thing. And she's like, you're welcome. As the car alarm goes off, she starts running. Puts the pillow down right in place for the frat boy to fall onto the pillow.
She gives him a little kiss on the head, which I thought was so cute.
It was cute. She calls out for Tim. She knows he's hiding there. She tells him to stop hiding who he is, that love is love, and then he needs to go out there and get himself a fine piece of man ass. Apparently this scene motivated or someone went to the director like when they met him in real life and said that after this movie he saw it with their parents, and afterwards he let his parents know that he was gay and okay. They were very accepting.
not the movie you would think would do it.
Right, yeah, I know. But it's interesting. All right, back at the frat house, she actually waves at Emily. Mm-hmm. Now, how hard was that tree?
Yeah, she's being really, she's being a good person in this right. run through.
Inside the house, she tells Danielle before she asks, his name is Carter. No, we did not have sex, but if I somehow survive this day, I'm going to have his babies. Once inside her room, she kneels in front of Lori, lets her know that she knows she's been a horrible roommate. Tree has been too selfish to appreciate Lori, was always there for her. She asks if they could start over, if Tree promises not to be such a loser. Lori is smiling and asks if Tree is high, and Tree says, on life. Yeah. Then she leaves saying that she wants to hear about Lori's mystery guy. Mm-hmm. She goes to Gregory's class and shouts to everyone to hear, Dr. Butler, can I have a word, please? She ends her relationship, tells him that he has a wife that he loves, and if he won't stay faithful to her, he should just have the balls to leave her. He threatens that he's not going to let her coast by class anymore, and she says, I already dropped it, and she's flicking him off
yeah.
as she does it. Then at lunch, Becky sits down and is about to get the lecture for the chocolate milk when Tree shows up with an even bigger tray with cake, french fries, chips, Twinkies, Dig Donuts, and a hot dog with cheese and relish on it. It might have had ketchup. I couldn't tell. I study that tray. Tree starts shoving a ton of fries in her face. And Daniel asks, what's with the fat fries? We're Kappas. And Tree said that Daniel should just live a little. And Daniel replies that it will turn her into a chunker like Becky.
There's a lot of squeaks happening. Sorry about that. Hello.
If you hear the squeaks, they're dogs making squeaks in the background.
Squeaking your toy.
And then Becky is about to get off and run away from that insult. Mm-hmm. And Tree puts her hand on Becky's shoulder, sits her down, which stops the milk from getting on her, picks up the chocolate milk, walks it over, and pours it all over Danielle. Well, she takes the straw at first.
Yeah. I know
first, as Carter walks up to return the bracelet, she grabs him and kisses him and then asks if he will take her out for her birthday. He asks what the punchline is, and she says there isn't one, and she runs off. We cut to her dad about to give up on her showing up. He asks for the check, and then Tree's actually standing behind the waitress when the waitress walks away.
I was waiting the whole movie for her to finally go meet up with her dad.
I know.
I was thinking, like, why doesn't she just go meet up with her dad and then skip all the whole day?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But now she's finally done it.
She tells her dad she doesn't want to have small talk. She thought of avoiding him, the loss of her mom, easier to deal with, but it's actually made her more miserable. She tells him that it took something really crazy to make her figure this all out, but that she is here and she's so sorry that she hurt him. I think I might have cried the first time watching this scene.
Oh, not me.
No. Oh, not
have
you.
Have a hard heart, I guess.
Oh, man. And the scene ends with them both crying and him telling her happy birthday. And then we cut to Tree arming up for the night's conversation. We see her start at 8:53. She starts a 30-minute timer on her Timex brand watch. At the hospital, she puts a knife against the security guard's throat, instructs him to get up slowly. I don't know that this is the way to handle it.
I don't understand. I don't think this was the best way. To me, why don't you just call the police and say, right. Hey, the guy's loose, and then they'll show up and he's getting loose, you know, right, but whatever, yeah. Whatever.
He tells Tree that this is a really bad idea. And she says, so is dying for the 16th time. And this is where we've lost some loops because mm-hmm. this is the 10th loop. After taking his gun, she tells the officer that Toombs is going to escape and to go get help. Inside the room, she tells Toombs that she knows he's not sleeping. And when he opens his eyes, he tells her the safety is on. In the struggle, he's able to pin her against the wall with a knife at her throat. Tree kicks Toombs in the balls and he misses the knife. Like, it gets stuck in the door. He then slams her against the wall and then lifts her into the air against the other wall.
She's like, dang, that's...
Right?
I don't know.
And the glass...
He must be doing some CrossFit.
The glass from the emergency fire hose located there, shattering the glass. As he approaches, he promises to make it real quick for her, and then her watch starts beeping, and Toombs is confused why there's a smile on her face, and right then the lights go out.
The blackout happens.
Yeah, on time, every time. When the lights come back on, Toombs doesn't know where Tree is. She yells at him that the safety is now off, thanks for the tip, and puts 3 bullets in him. Back in the dorm room, she's with Carter, and she lights the candle for the cupcake. She peels it, holds it up to Carter. Carter asks what she's going to wish for. And Tree answers in one word, tomorrow, and blows it out. Now, we all know you don't tell someone what you're going to wish for or it won't come true.
It's not going to come true anyway. Did you know that?
So we cut to loop 11. Well, because she told him.
I guess.
We cut to loop 11. Yeah,
so it has like a long period before we go to the next day. Right. So you think, oh, maybe it's the next, she's done it. No.
She starts to freak out, saying that it can't be happening, that she killed him. Carter thinks she's just having a bad dream. It's something that happens to him all the time when he drinks. We cut to Tree's room again. She's packing to run away. Lori tries to figure out what's wrong.
What a great idea that you should have done a million loops ago.
Lori lights the cupcake to cheer her up. Tree replies, thanks, but I already ate it last night. And that's when it dawns on her that she died in her sleep and that in every loop she never ate the cupcake. So Lori had to find another way. And since she works at the hospital, Tombs fell right into her lap.
So it was Lori the whole time.
It was, yeah. Which we ruined a long time ago. And that she knew that if he escaped, everyone would assume that he killed her. But it was always you. It was always Lori. Lori says she's crazy. Tree says, prove it by taking a bite of the cupcake. Tree says that she'll take the cupcake to the police. And Lori slams her against the wall.
Yeah.
And then locks the door. Tree asks why. And like in every James Bond villain, we get the motive.
Yeah.
It's because Tree was sleeping with Gregory.
The doctor,
right?
Yeah.
When Lori asks how Tree figured it out, Tree says because Lori has killed her before. And Lori says, well, then I guess I'm going to have to do it again.
Yeah.
As they fight, Lori pins Tree to the bed. Daniel knocks on the door. Lori covers her mouth so she can't respond. Lori is able to convince Daniel to go away. But during that time, Tree's able to grab the cupcake, shoves it in Lori's mouth and says, eat it, bitch. Yeah. Then Tree jumps and grabs the chandelier and swings
and kicks her out the window.
And she lands right in front of Emily, who is screaming.
Poor Emily.
Daniel knocks again, asking what they're doing, and she responds with, Lori ate my cupcake before falling over. We cut to Tree and Carter watching the news, where Daniel is claiming that she's always knew that Lori was weird. She never wore makeup.
Oh yeah.
She never posted any cute selfies, and she actually owned a pair of Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then she pauses to get after Emily in the background for crying. Who's being comforted by Becky. And then Danielle finishes saying that Lori's plot was lame, as a Kappa would never eat a cupcake.
Yeah, I mean, she's so right, because she for a long right. time it didn't work.
It's like too many carbs. Yeah. This time Tree answers the phone. She tells her dad that she's okay and that she'll see him soon. Carter says that since her room is now a crime scene, would she like to stay at his place again? And she asks like if that's an invitation, but she's smiling. He asks if
she said he's gonna sleep on his roommate's bed again.
Right. It's like, oh, I'm sleeping on Ryan's bed. He asks if she's sure she wants to wake up in a dorm room again, and she says only if it's your dorm room. Yeah, they're right. Yeah, that's where he jokes about that. And then Carter gives Tree her bracelet one more time, and then Carter mentions that her situation reminds her of the movie Groundhog Day.
She says she didn't see, she's never seen it.
And then she's like, Bill Murray. And she's like, who? You know, the Ghostbusters?
Hadn't seen
she's
that
like,
either.
Nope, hadn't seen that either. That's just too funny.
You grow up under a rock?
Right.
And at least you would know what Ghostbusters was.
Then we cut to the next morning. Carter plays like it's the same thing. Like,
yeah, he does a prank. Okay.
Yeah, it's now, a little rude.
At this point, I would have not liked. You know how I feel about pranks.
Yeah, pranks are bad.
I don't like pranks.
Yeah.
This would be a deal breaker for me. I'd be like, never mind.
Never mind.
I don't like this prank, but she's fine with it.
She is. She's like, oh my God, you're such a jerk. It's like it's really a prank on the audience too.
Yeah.
To make us think it didn't work.
Yeah. But it's, oh, and he's changed her ringtone, so it was happy birthday again. So.
Right. Ryan enters.
Or he called her so it would ring or whatever.
Yeah. Then Ryan enters and she's disappointed that she's back. Carter kicks him out, saying that he doesn't want to sleep in his car again. It smells like hot pockets and feet. And he begs to just let him grab clean underwear, but they don't let him grab clean underwear. No. And they cut to the sticker one last time. And then we have fun credits with like birthday cards and stuff. And we hear Hi by Sir Sly.
The end.
You liked it though?
Yeah, I really liked this movie. I thought the lead actress was really, really good. She like really made it, because she was like very unlikable, but you still like was rooting for her.
Yeah, after so many loops, when you could tell she's becoming a good person, she recognizes she's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised about how much I liked this movie. Yeah, it was really, really good.
That's too funny.
I thought the soundtrack was pretty cool.
I like it too.
I looked up who did the score. It was Bear McCreary. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
whatever. He just does soundtracks. Well, he did a soundtrack to Battlestar Galactica. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't know if you ever watched Battlestar Galactica.
I love Battlestar Galactica.
It's a good score. It's a good score.
You mean the new one, right? Not the 78?
Yeah, of course. The old one. I mean the new one. Sorry.
So interesting. Christopher Landon was originally hired to rewrite the script. Mm-hmm. He never got writer credit for it, but it's the script they used when he rewrote it. Mm-hmm. But when he did such a great job of it, the director that was hired at the time to direct it didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But all the people backing the movie did. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if that director doesn't get it, mm-hmm. then he's fired and we want you to direct it instead. And
that's how Christopher... Was he like a director?
Yeah, he'd already done Freaky at this point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Because Freaky wasn't as good of a movie, in my opinion, this one.
I mean, I still liked it.
Yeah. No, it was okay. But like, yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting. But it was on like development hell for like 12 years.
Yeah.
Because Jessica Roth was like saying that, if that had never happened, I would have never been able to do it for it. He goes, yeah, well, originally you would have been 12 when this movie would have come out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in development hell forever.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. Yeah. It made $125 million on a $4.8 million budget. Yeah.
They made a lot of money.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's a sequel, which we'll get to watch later.
Okay.
It's really good. I like it. It's even less horror.
Oh, perfect.
It's a straight comedy.
Perfect.
It is a straight comedy.
Oh, perfect for me.
Oh, it's too funny. There's one thing that I want to mention. There's the first time she goes in the hospital room, uh-huh. she had broken the glass for the axe.
Yeah.
As she runs out, the actress slipped on the glass and the director didn't know. He's like, cut when she runs out. And one of the other production people heard something wrong. And when he went over there, the actress is lying on the floor and there's a pile of blood by her face.
Oh no.
She had slipped on the glass and busted her lip.
Oh, okay.
And so she'd bled so much it looked like she had died.
Yeah.
But she was okay other than the busted lip. But because she didn't break anything, they weren't allowed to take a day off.
Oh no.
Because she wasn't injured enough.
Yeah.
And so in the parking lot scene,
yeah.
if you really look, she has a busted lip.
Oh no.
Like her lip is swollen on one side. Aww. Which I only know because of the commentary.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. Other thing is that someone sued over the mask saying that they created it.
Okay.
Like it's close, but there's like definitely details like the eyes are different, mm-hmm. the teeth are different, mm-hmm. but apparently they settled out of court, but it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Nightmare Echoes. Hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.